أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر أن الله يسبح له من في السماوات والأرض والطير صافات كل قد علم صلاته وتسبيحه والله عليم بما يفعلون ولله ملك السماوات والأرض وإلى الله المصير. ألم تر أن الله يزجي سحابا ثم يؤلف بينه ثم يجعله ركاما فترى الودق يخرج من خلاله وينزل من السماء من جبال فيها من برد فيصيب به من يشاء ويصرفه عن من يشاء يكاد سنا برقه يذهب بالأبصار يقلب الله الليل والنهار إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الأبصار. والله خلق كل دابة من ماء فمنهم من يمشي على بطنه ومنهم من يمشي على رجلين ومنهم من يمشي على أربع يخلق الله ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير. لقد أنزلنا آيات مبينات والله يهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. ويقولون آمنا بالله وبالرسول وأطعنا ثم يتولى فريق منهم من بعد ذلك وما أولئك بالمؤمنين. وإذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم إذا فريق منهم معرضون. وإن يكن لهم الحق يأتوا إليه مذعنين. أفي قلوبهم مرض أم ارتابوا أم يخافون أن يحيف الله عليهم ورسوله بل أولئك هم الظالمون. إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون. ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقه فأولئك هم الفائزون. وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم لئن أمرتهم ليخرجن قل لا تقسموا طاعة معروفة إن الله خبير بما تعملون. قل أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول فإن تولوا فإنما عليه ما حمل وعليكم ما حملتم وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين. Starting inshallah from ayah number 41 of Surah An-Nur. Last week or in the last lesson, we talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the light of the heavens and the earth, and we said that Nur refers to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the whole lesson was basically around that Nur, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today the beginning of the lesson is about those people who, despite seeing all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them and seeing the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in action, yet they refuse to believe. So these verses are directed towards those people who refuse to see the Nur, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who refuse to see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that, subsequently, they refuse to believe in Him. They refuse to believe in His Nur. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a few questions. He says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالطَّيْرُ صَافَاتِ. Addressing those people who do not accept the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything that is in the heavens and the earth makes tasbih for Him? Everything that is in the heavens and the earth makes tasbih for him, and the birds, they are safat. It has two meanings. Safat, either they are in lines, meaning when they fly in perfect formation. If you've ever seen geese flying, they will always fly in a type of a V shape. And the reasoning behind that, the scientists say, is that when the wings, when the geese flap their wings, the air that is circulated behind them, it goes in a V shape. And the air from the leading goose, it basically goes to the geese behind, and then these geese who are behind, the air goes behind that, and you know, it helps the other geese behind to fly without much effort. And then when the goose at the front gets tired, then they basically switch turns. Okay, so this is the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one meaning of safat is in lines, the birds are in lines or in formation, or the other meaning is they are spreading their wings out in a straight line so that they can fly. So Allah is saying that everything is in that is in the heavens and the earth, whether it's a creature, bird, insect, everything makes the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that tasbih could be verbally, that they make the tasbih of Allah, they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just like we do by saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Or their tasbih is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do what they are instructed to do by Allah. Meaning, you will never see a cow eating meat or hunting an animal to eat meat. And you will never see a lion, for example, only living on grass. Okay, so the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to animals and insects is to do what they're supposed to do. They do what they're supposed to do, and that is their tasbih. So everything that is in the heavens and the earth is subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Every creation indeed knew its own salat and its own tasbih. Okay, so it's not going to be the salat that we pray or the tasbih we do, but each and every creation knows its own salat, it knows its own tasbih. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَفْعَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all-knowing about what they are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of what every single creation is doing. Now you see the whole system that Allah has created in a very perfect way, that each and every creation is doing what it's supposed to be doing. The only problem that occurs is when human beings, they mess up that system. They mess up that system, and it basically, you know, the ecological system, they call it, it messes up, and then because of that, we have the problems that we see in terms of the environmental damage that takes place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is aware of what every creation is doing. وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ. So here Allah says, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought lillah at the beginning of the sentence, and it is supposed to be actually at the end. Okay, it's supposed to be mulkus samawati wal ard lillah. The kingdom of the heavens and the earth is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But by bringing lillah at the beginning, it indicates what is known in Arabic as hasr. That means emphasis. So emphasis means only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. And again, the same thing at the end of the ayah, وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ, that the return is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's supposed to be الْمَصِيرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, the return is to Allah. But وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرِ, by bringing it forward, it means only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will return. So that's where our abode is, that's where we're heading. Nobody can say that I'm going backwards in time and I'm not going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody is heading in the same direction. So that ayah is perfect in its pronunciation, in its translation, that only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will return. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rainfall and how He makes the rain come down and it benefits humanity and the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُزْجِي سَحَابًا. Do you see? Did you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He drives the clouds. Drives the clouds, meaning they go from one end to the other. Basically, the whole water cycle, which probably all of us learned in science class in school, is that the water evaporates from the oceans or from the tops of mountains, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes the clouds come onto the land by the wind, and then when the clouds accumulate, then after that rainfall occurs. So Allah says here, do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He drives the clouds? ثُمَّ يُؤَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ Then He combines between them. He joins them up. ثُمَّ يَجْعَلُهُ رُكَامًا Then He makes the clouds into layers. Okay, so there are different types of clouds. Again, we've learned that all in science class. Cumulus clouds, etc., etc. So when the clouds become layer upon layer, the water vapor becomes heavy, then after that rainfall occurs. ثُمَّ يَجْعَلْهُ رُكَامًا فَتَرَى الْوَدْقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خِلَالِهِ You will see that the wadq refers to the rainfall, it comes from inside those clouds. وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ جِبَالٍ فِيهَا مِنْ بَرَدٍ فَيُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَصْرِفُهُ عَنْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ And another aspect is hailstones that come. How do they form? Allah says this. He tells us. And he makes fall from the skies, from the mountains, in which there are hails, and this hail, it reaches whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and He takes it away from whomever He wants. Okay, so there are two meanings of mountains here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that hail come from mountains. What does the mountain mean? There are two meanings. One, that the mountain of clouds. Basically, if you look at the clouds, when they form and they become very, very heavy, you will see that they look like mountains from far away, if you look at them. Okay, so that's one meaning. Or the other meaning is that the formation of the clouds that send down hail to us takes place on the top of mountains or at high altitudes, and then that those clouds, they come down, or they are sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then those same clouds, they send down hailstones. Okay, so these are the two meanings. And also, فَيُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَصْرِفُهُ عَمْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ It has two meanings. One meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that hail reach whom He wants, and He takes it away from whom He wants. In terms of the benefit, okay, even hailstone, when it comes down, then it will basically turns into water. That water then benefits humanity, and it benefits animals. Sometimes it starts off as hail in the atmosphere, and then because of the warmer temperature down below, it melts and it turns into rainfall. So then it benefits the humanity and it benefits the animals. Okay, so that's one meaning of فَيُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَصْرِفُهُ عَمْ مَنْ يَشَاءُ Another meaning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gets people, He punishes people with the hailstone, and He takes that punishment away from other people. So sometimes when the hailstones are very big, sometimes they do come down like golf balls, okay, and they can do severe damage. They can damage your car, they can damage your property. Okay, so this is the second meaning. That when the hail comes down, it afflicts people, it harms people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that harm away from other people. Okay, so that these are the different meanings that can be derived from this verse. After that, Allah says, يَكَادُ سَنَا بَرْقِهِ يَذْهَبُ بِالْأَبْصَارِ It is very close that the light from the lightning, it will dazzle the eyes. Okay, so when at the same time the rain is falling and the lightning is striking, and if it particularly strikes somewhere close, you will see the flash of lightning. If you look at it, it is enough to blind the eyes. It is that powerful. It is again one of the powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can understand how great and how mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by looking at this lightning when it strikes. It does so much damage, and it's so harmful, and it kills many people. Anybody who's lived in Florida will know how severe thunderstorms can really get. Okay, so you have a lot of lightning strikes over there. يَكَادُ سَنَا بَرْقِهِ يَذْهَبُ بِالْأَبْصَارِ يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He changes the night and the day. And again, look at all of the things that Allah is mentioning here. He's first of all, he talked about the animals and the birds, and after that he talked about the rainfall and the cloud formation, and he talked about the hailstones, he talked about the lightning, and now he's telling us that look at something every day that you take for granted. You see the sun rising, you see the sun setting, it's just another day for all of us. But look at the perfect timing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. The sun rises at its correct time, it sets at its correct time. The moon goes through its phases at its correct time. Okay, so all of these things are happening night in and day in and day out, and we see them with our eyes, yet we take them for granted. But Allah is reminding us. Allah is the one who makes the night and the day change. يُخَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ He changes, Allah changes the night and the day. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ Indeed, in these things, or in the last thing that Allah has said, there is عِبْرَةً. There is a lesson for the people of understanding, for the people who have true vision, who actually see. And who are the people who actually see? Are the ones who understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reflection of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking into His creation. Those are the people who are known as Ulil Absar, meaning the people of understanding. After that, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the talking about the creation of Allah. Allah says, Wallahu khalaqa kulla dabatin mimma. Now, He talked about the water in the previous ayat, and now again, talking about water. Okay, so Allah says, Allah created every living thing from water. Every living thing was created from water. So that can have two meanings. One meaning is that from the beginning of its conception in the womb, the baby was created from the water, meaning the semen that goes inside the womb. Okay, that's one meaning. Or, and this is again scientifically proven, that we human beings, more than 2/3 of us are water. A very high percentage of our bodies is actually water. We are liquid. We are all formed of water. Okay, and without this water, we cannot survive. Without water, we cannot survive. And if Allah was to stop rainfall for a month, couple of months, we would be in great big trouble. So all of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relies on this water. So Allah says, Wallahu khalaqa kulla dabatin mimma. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created all creatures from water. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِهِ And there are so many different kinds of creations. Again, look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how He created everything. Some of them, they crawl on their stomach, like snakes and insects. They don't have any legs. Okay, so they crawl on their stomachs. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ رِجْلَيْنِ And there are others that walk on 2 feet. There are others that walk on 2 feet like human beings. We walk on 2 feet. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعٍ And there are others that walk on 4 feet. Okay, like all of the rest of the creatures that we see. And of course, even more than that, other insects with 6 legs, 8 legs, 100 legs. You know, and even more than 100 legs. Centipedes and millipedes. Okay, يَخْلُقُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He creates whatever He wants. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has power over everything. Now again, we need to remind ourselves why He's bringing these ayat. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing these verses? Because in the previous lesson, we learned about the guidance and the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people that do not understand the nur of Allah, they do not understand the guidance of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them just to look around. Just to look around at His creation, and through looking at His creation, understand the power and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ مُبَيِّنَاتٍ Indeed, we revealed clear signs. Clear signs, again, clear signs for you to ponder and to reflect upon the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking into His creation. وَاللَّهُ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He guides whom He wants to the straight path. Okay? And also, ayati mubayyinat can also refer to the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an that He sent down. These are clear ayats with a clear meaning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them down to us to understand. The next verse is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam who are either munafiqeen or who are hypocrites, and we will see in these ayat a reflection of ourselves. Many of us, we will fit according to the ayat that have been mentioned here. Allah says, وَيَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالرَّسُولِ, and they say, we have iman in Allah and iman in the Prophet. وَأَطَعْنَا, and we have obeyed. ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُم مِّن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. They say these things, but when the time comes to practice, يَتَوَلَّى, they turn their backs away. يَتَوَلَّى فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُم مِّن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, a group from amongst them after that, after making these claims of iman, of obedience, they turn away. وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, these people, they do not have iman. It doesn't matter how much you claim to have iman, that iman should be reflected in your actions. You should be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove your iman. That's why the definition of iman is what? Iman is that having the iman in your heart, wal-amal bil-arkan, to do the deeds with your body. Okay? So to have the faith in your heart and to do the deeds with your body, the combination of both of these is iman. So that's why always, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعْمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, they had iman and they did good deeds. It's not just claiming with your tongue that you have iman that is sufficient proof. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares such people, وَمَا أُولَٰئِكَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that such people, they do not have iman. وَإِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, and when they are called to Allah and His Prophet so that He can decide between them, so that He can judge between them, then suddenly a group from amongst them turns away. Okay, so basically what does that mean? That means that our judging has to be according to the Quran and the Sunnah. If somebody is telling us, this is in the Quran, this is in the Sunnah, and then we do not want to adopt that, we do not want to accept that, then, you know, what kind of iman do we have? إِذَا فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, these people, Allah says, they turn away, despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling them, the Prophet ﷺ is calling them to judge between them. From this we can derive that if we were living in an Islamic government and the judge, he issues an order to come in front of the court, then everybody has to comply. Okay, and this is, in modern terminology, they call it a subpoena. A subpoena that is issued by the court for a person to appear in the courthouse. And if a person does not do that, then that is regarded as contempt of court. It's a very big thing. Okay, Islamically, it's also a big thing that the judge who is going to comply with the rule of Allah and the rule of the Prophet, and he is going to pass judgment for you or against you, and you do not want to comply, you are basically arguing with Allah and you are arguing with the Prophet. You are going against Allah, you are going against the Prophet. So it's a very important thing to comply with the judge when he is issuing this order. وَإِن يَكُلْ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ يَأْتُوا إِلَيْهِ مُذْعِنِينَ, and if the right is for them, then they come to the Prophet مُذْعِنِينَ in the state of submission. What does that mean? When they feel that the judgment is going to be in their favor, then they come to the Prophet ﷺ and they go to the Islamic court. And when they feel that the judgment is going to be against them, then they go somewhere else. This is the sign of weak iman. And this happens all the time amongst so-called Muslims. When you go to the imam, he's going to judge against you, then no, we'll go to the outside somewhere else. Okay, when he's judging in your favor, then you go to him. And this particularly applies in divorce cases. Okay, when one party, one spouse is getting divorced, he knows that Islamically there is more benefit for him to comply with the Islamic law, then he will come to the imam. And the party that wants to get more benefit out of the settlement, then they will go to the judge basically because it will be more financially beneficial for them and more favorable for them. And we see that all the time. Just think how weak our iman is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is describing the munafiqeen, the hypocrites who have these qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the question, أَفِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ أَمْ يَرْتَابُوا أَمْ يَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. There are three conditions here that Allah has mentioned. There are three situations that happen, and all of them are deficiencies in iman. First thing is, Allah says, is there any marad in their hearts? That means, is there kufr in their hearts? That means, are they munafiq? Are they hypocrites? First thing. Amirtabu. Secondly, are they in doubt? They have doubts. Okay, they believe, they proclaim, and they are true in their proclamation. They believe in Allah and His Prophet, but they have doubts. They have doubts. This is the second group. أَمْ يَخَافُونَ أَنْ يَحِيفَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. Or are they afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet is going to be oppressive against them? He is going to do dhulm against them. Allah is going to do dhulm against them. This is the third thing. So all three basically are deficiencies in a person's iman. The first thing, obviously, because it's nifaq, hypocrisy. The second thing, it's a weak iman. Iman, yes, but having doubts. And the third thing, thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule is unjust. The Prophet's rule is unjust. So instead of going to the Islamic court, we go to a non-Islamic court because that is going to be more favorable for us. Because we think that Allah is going to do dhulm against us. We think that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oppressive. Na'udhu billah. So all these three situations are wrong and they are deficiencies in iman. And if we have any of them, we should reflect upon ourselves and try and evaluate ourselves and think, where is our iman going? So Allah says, بَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The reality is, they themselves are ظَالِمُونَ. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not doing dhulm against them. They themselves are doing dhulm. Dhulm meaning they are wrongdoers in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also they are doing dhulm in the sense that despite having all of the benefits of the mu'mineen, they have nifaq in their hearts, they have hypocrisy in their hearts, and they are enjoying all the rights enjoyed by the Muslims. So they are doing dhulm. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what the state of the true believers should be. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The true believers, what do they say? Indeed, the saying of the true believers is, when they are called to Allah and His Prophet, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, to judge between them, is that they say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. They say, we've heard and we obeyed. This is the true belief. Whether the judgment is for us or against us, we take the judgment from Allah and His Prophet, from the Quran and the Sunnah. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah declares that those people who have that quality in them, they are the true believers. They have the true success. They will be successful. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَى اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Prophet, and he fears Allah, the khashya of Allah, about what has happened in the past, the sins that have been committed in the past. وَيَتَّقْهِ. And he has the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for future, that he will not commit future sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Such people are the ones who will attain success. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُونَ. They swear by Allah. Again, talking about the hypocrites here. Going back to the hypocrites and their qualities. They swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. The fullest extent of the oaths that a person can take. This is known in Arabic as مَفُول مُطْلَقْ. وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. They swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, swearing after swearing, taking oath after taking oath. That is, you know, when a person, he is a liar, and he's not afraid to take an oath to make a point or to lie in front of people, He will take oath after oath after oath, and he will not care, because he has no understanding of the consequence that he is getting himself into by adopting these lies. So they swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most that they can. What do they swear? لَإِنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُونَ. If you ordered them, O Prophet of Allah, to go out in the path of Allah, in jihad, لَيَخْرُجُونَ, most certainly they would go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds back to them, O Prophet of Allah, tell them, قُلْ لَا تُقْسِمُوا, don't take these oaths. طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَ, your obedience is well known. Your obedience is well known. We already know how obedient you are. Okay, so it's kind of sarcastic. Okay, or the meaning is that obedience, true obedience, is well known. That if a person is obedient, he doesn't need to be taking oaths. He will do. He will do actions. He will do what he's supposed to be doing, and he will not just waste time taking oaths. He will actually do some action. طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَةٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is fully aware of what you're doing. قُلْ أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, be obedient to Allah and be obedient to the Prophet. And this verse comes again and again. It was in the last couple of verses. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. Whoever obeys Allah and the Prophet. And here again, tell them, be obedient to Allah and be obedient to the Prophet. So there are some people who have this, you know, illness of saying that we should not adopt the sunnah in our lives because there is no proof that the sunnah is valid. Whereas again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, obey Allah, obey the Prophet. If it was not for the case of observing the sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have commanded us again and again in the Quran to do that. Okay. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِمَا حُمِّلْ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ. If they turn their backs away, then indeed, or if you turn your backs away, then indeed upon him what has been put upon him and upon you is what has been put upon you. What does that mean? That if you turn away, then the Prophet ﷺ's responsibility is to just give the message. And your responsibility was to accept the message. Once he has given the message, then his duty is done. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. O Prophet of Allah, your responsibility is to give the message, and the responsibility of the people is to accept the message. So, وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا حُمِّلْتُمْ, and upon you is what you have, what has been made obligatory upon you. So what does that mean? Be obedient to Allah, be obedient to his Prophet. And again, the next part, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you are obedient to him, you will be guided. Obedient to who? Obedient to the Prophet. Again, if you are obedient to the Prophet, you will be guided. So the question is again, how can a person be so short-sighted as to say that there is no room for the sunnah in our lives? We cannot accept the sunnah when the Quran itself tells us to follow the sunnah, tells us to follow the Prophet, to obey the Prophet. Without the sunnah, we cannot do really anything. In terms of, you know, praying, there is no methodology in the Quran which tells us from beginning to end how to pray. It tells us in one place to make ruku', in another place it tells us to make sajda, okay? And it doesn't tell us the tahiyyat, it doesn't tell us the salat ala nabi in the correct words. There is nothing like that in the whole Quran. So if we do not adopt the Quran, then there is no prayer for us. If you don't adopt the sunnah, then there is no prayer for us. We cannot pray. The same thing with zakat. There is no calculation of the zakat in the Quran. There is no complete picture of hajj in the Quran. There are verses here and there which talk about some things that you need to do, but the complete picture of hajj is derived for us from the sunnah. So if you sideline the sunnah, then all of the deen is completely out of the window. And this is, I believe, what the people want anyway. They want an easy religion that has, you know, it's easy to do. Okay, there's no mention in specifically that talks about the salat, so get rid of salat. There's no calculation of actually zakat in the Quran. So give whatever you like, whether you give $1 or, you know, $5, it doesn't make any difference. So if you sideline all of the sunnah, it becomes very, very easy for you, and that is the reason that they want to do that. Whereas Allah is telling us here, وَإِن تُطِعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَهْتَدُوا, you will be guided. If you are obedient to the Prophet, you will be guided. And the reality is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had to send down human beings to show us in practice what we need to do. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sent the Quran, you know, that's not sufficient for our guidance. We need to see a living example of a human being practicing what he's supposed to be doing. That's why the Prophet, regarding prayer, he said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ يُصَلِّي. Pray as you have seen me praying. As you have seen me praying. So we have to see a person doing that thing in action, then we obey it. So if we obey the Prophet ﷺ, we will be guided. وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. And the only responsibility to the upon the Prophet is a clear guidance or a clear propagation of the message, giving of the message. Once he's given the message, then the responsibility is on our shoulders to accept that message and to run with it or to reject it. The one who takes it, grasps it, puts it into practice, he will be guided, he will be successful. And the person who rejects it, throws it behind his back, that person will be unsuccessful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.